Good day, everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio and the program The Teacher. I'm your host, Masoud.
Allah ma'ana, tasma'una wa tarana. Allah, Allah, inna narjuka al-ghufrana. Aslihna wa yana, waghfir khatayana.
Among the different well-known figures in history of Islam and science, today we're going to talk about one of the most distinguished one, who is Muhammad ibn Battuta, or simply known as Ibn Battuta, born on February 25th, 1304, and died in 1368 or 69. He was a Moroccan Muslim traveler and a scholar, of course, and is widely recognized and considered as one of the greatest travelers of all time. Ibn Battuta is known for his extensive travels, of course, and later on he wrote the accounts of his travels and published that in a book named Rihla, or literally translated as The Journey. Over a period of 30 years, Ibn Battuta was able to visit most of the known Islamic world as well as many non-Muslim lands. It is interesting to know that Ibn Battuta intended to do the pilgrimage of Hajj and visiting Mecca for a 15-month trip, which eventually led to a 24-year trip to many countries in the world.
Show me a way to return to Him in peace. Show me a way and I begun tomorrow. For there is only one way for you and me. Show me
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and the program The Teacher. There are many places that Ibn Battuta could visit at his time. As one of the greatest travelers of all time and with his extensive trips to different places, he was able to experience different cultures and interact with different people in different parts of the world. But just to mention the places that Ibn Battuta was able to visit and travel to, we could say that in the Middle East, he, after the pilgrimage of Mecca, of course, he went to visit the country of Iraq and later on Persia or the Iran today in different cities, of course. Then he also visited again the Arabian Peninsula as well as the Swahili coast, Anatolia, and Central and South Asia. Later on, he also visited countries such as India, China, and some countries in Southeast Asia like the Indonesia and Malaysia today. He also visited countries in the North Africa and the Horn of the Africa, as well as visiting the Andalusia at that time, which is Spain today.
Ibn Battuta was born in approximately 1304 in Tangier, Morocco. He came from a wealthy family of intellectuals. After finishing his education, he left in 1324 for a pilgrimage to Mecca. Ibn Battuta returned home 29 years later. He traveled from modern-day, Tanzania to Kazakhstan. and from the South China Sea to tropical West Africa. He traveled by donkey, horse, camel, wagon, and ship, covering in all 116,000 to 120,000 kilometers. His account of his adventures includes numerous delights, tribulations, and brushes with death. He was shipwrecked off the coast of Sri Lanka, lost in a mountain blizzard in Anatolia, captured by Indian bandits, attacked by pirates off the Malabar coast, nearly executed by the Sultan of Delhi, infected with disease, and drawn into a plot to overthrow the government of the Maldive Islands, end quote. When he returned home, he recorded his experiences with the help of a fellow scholar, Muhammad ibn Juzay. The original title of his account was A Gift to the Observers Concerning the Curiosities of the Cities and the Marvels Encountered in Travels. Thanks to scholars and authors like Rumford, Ibn Battuta has not been forgotten, and his story has helped us to reconnect with parts of Africa, Persia, China, and the Maldive Islands of the 14th century. Ibn Battuta lived on the very edge of the earth, near the shores of the Ocean of Darkness. Nothing but night lay to the west, but to the east lay the golden world, and he dreamed of traveling across it. On maps, he would trace his finger along scarlet roads to reach the vermilion stars that marked the great cities of the world. On hot afternoons, in an imaginary boat, he would cross cool, peacock-colored seas to the eastern edge of the earth and sail fearlessly into the ocean of ignorance. When he grew up, he wore the turban of a scholar and could recite the Quran. At 21, he decided to go to Mecca as a pilgrim. Ibn Battuta's travels can introduce students to many different cultures and give students a richer sense of history.
There's a reason why to Allah we pray in the morning on every day. It's a meeting, and we must not be late. If we want to have peace, we must obey and pray. There's no better feeling than when we pray on time, and we know the rest of our days will work out just fine. So we must work hard and wake up before sunrise, so we can leave our homes with the blessings of Allah.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and I'm with you in the program, The Teacher, talking about Ibn Battuta, one of the greatest travelers of all time and a Muslim traveler and scholar in the 14th century. Ibn Battuta, who was able to visit many countries in different continents, such as countries in Asia, Southeast Asia, Central Asia, some even European countries, such as Andalusia at that time, which is Spain today, and different African countries, was mainly motivated by the fact that traveling was recommended in Islam, so why not become a traveler? However, to talk about the effects of traveling, which is recommended in Islam, we have to mention the point that traveling has a great impact and influence on someone's soul. Going to different places, seeing the signs of God, the beauty of creation, of course, and different creatures, interacting with different people and cultures, all these things definitely have a great and positive influence on your soul. And, keeping people in peace, calmness, and tranquility.
Battuta seemed to be in no hurry to get to Mecca. The backpacker in him was beginning to enjoy getting sidetracked. Instead of taking the most direct pilgrim route through the Sinai Desert, he turned south. He was heading up the Nile to the most populous city in the Muslim world and the center of Islamic civilization and culture, to Cairo.
Arrived at length in the city of Cairo. Mother of cities and seat of Pharaoh the tyrant, mistress of broad provinces and fruitful lands, boundless in multitude of buildings, peerless in beauty and splendor, the meeting place of comer and goer, the stopping place of feeble and strong. Therein is what you will of learned and simple, grave and gay, prudent and foolish, base and noble, of high estate and low estate, unknown and famous. She surges as the waves of the sea with her throngs of folk and can scarce contain them for all the capacity of her situation and sustaining power.
The population of Cairo in the first half of the 14th century was around 500,000, 15 times larger than that of London at the same period. If Alexandria had seemed metropolitan, Cairo was megalopolitan. It was the seat of Arab arts, letters and sciences, and even had an eye hospital which offered cataract operations. Al-Azhar claims to be the oldest functioning university in the world. It was founded some three centuries before the first Oxford College. In the 14th century, it was home to the greatest concentration of scholars and jurists in the Arabic-speaking world. Ibn Battuta took every opportunity to study at the feet of eminent Islamic professors, brushing up his Quranic recitation.
Really glad to have you again in another episode of the program The Teacher. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Till next time, God bless you all, have a nice time, and goodbye.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. يقولها شفاعة أنا لها